Welcome to The Creative Shift. My name is Dan Blank, author of the book Be the Gateway and founder of WeGrowMedia.com. So today I want to talk about a challenge that a lot of writers and artists and creators have. It's this idea that they want to grow their platform. They want to feel that as they share what they create and why they create it, that they're getting more followers, more people interested in supporting them in whatever way they want. And it could be different for each of you. Some of you want more followers on Instagram. You want more newsletter subscribers. You want more book sales. You want more art prints. You want more something. And growing that platform, I often describe platform not as like follower growth, but this idea of communication and trust. Your ability to more effectively communicate what you create and why to the right people. And in that process, develop a sense of trust with these people. So you feel that you have people who know your work and like your work and support your work, and you're part of this ecosystem. But what a lot of people feel is overwhelm. They feel that there's an unending list of tasks they have to do to, quote unquote, grow their platform or market their work. And they're just inundated with tips and ideas and best practices and examples of what other people have done. And it makes them feel like they have to, quote unquote, do it all. A lot of quote unquotes in this podcast. They have to do it all. That they have to have a newsletter, but also blog, and also be really active on Twitter for one reason, but then be really active on Instagram for another. And if you're not doing YouTube shorts, well, then you're missing the boat. And have you seen this on TikTok? You better do that too. That type of thing where even when they're doing a lot, there is this pervasive sense that they're not doing enough. And then, of course, what goes along with this is that you don't feel like you're doing anything well. And quite frankly, maybe you aren't, because we're really diluting all of our creative energy of what it means to share what we create with the hopes of communicating well and engaging people, the hopes of growing a platform. So I just want to talk about a few ways to think about this. The entire framing of this is this idea of that you want to grow your platform is to do less. And what I mean by that is to focus on fewer channels, but go deeper within those channels. So imagine if you're someone who really feels that for the kind of work you create and the kind of people you're hoping to reach, Instagram just feels right to you. You love going on there and seeing the photos from people and what they share. You feel that for the kinds of work you create, yeah, you see a lot of other creators out there doing it. You see they have a lot of followers, a lot of engagement. And that's where you'd love to share your work because it's what you enjoy or you think it'd be more strategic. So what if you just put all of your sharing and marketing energy into that place? Now, right away, I can almost feel some of you like red flags going up, which is don't put all your eggs in one basket. And there's been so many articles over the years of, you know, oh, if you build your house on Instagram and Instagram changes, you know, you don't have a house. I mean, great articles, and these are good warnings. But just bear with me here for a minute while we go through the example, then I'll address that. The idea here is that instead of kind of doing the bare minimum to update Twitter, and the bare minimum to update Instagram, and the bare minimum to send out a newsletter, instead of sort of half-baking it all across the board, think about when we do that, what happens. One, we feel like we're never caught up. Two, we don't feel like we have the energy to put into everything. So what we're doing is giving everything the minimum possible attention. And then three, no matter what, I think that there's often an emotional component where now, instead of feeling like you're succeeding in one place, you feel like you're failing everywhere. You might not feel that, but that's something I think can be a part of this for a lot of people. Whereas if you only focus on Instagram, what that means is that you're choosing to ignore everywhere else. And for what you share, you are more willing to put that creative energy to create a meaningful, interesting profile, not just communicating what you're about. But for me now, I can really see what drives you and your process and who inspires you and whatever it is you want to share. So there's a difference between me logging into Instagram and twice a week, maybe I see one of your two updates that week. And I might not see it because I was busy that day, or the algorithm didn't show it to me, or it just didn't resonate as I scrolled past it. Versus you really showing up there. You showing up and sharing, and this is an example, you can do whatever you want, this is not the rule, sharing every day. Maybe you share one main feed post every day, like the square images, and then you show up to stories, which is a whole separate feed, whole second feed, and you share there three times a day. Some of you I know are just reaching to turn off the podcast the second I say that, but please bear with me. And then you experiment with Instagram Reels, which is a huge thing that they're putting their effort on, where they're showing more reels if you do them than if you do other kinds of posts. And this might change over time, so maybe you're hearing this far in the future and that has shifted. But right now, Instagram is really looking at what's working on TikTok, and their Reels feature is a way that they are responding to that. They want more vertical video from creators. YouTube's doing the same thing with their shorts. It allows you, if you put this kind of energy into it, to understand the platform better instead of saying, oh, yeah, I'm on Instagram, but, and you're sort of apologizing. I don't really do stories. I don't get stories, or I don't do video. I don't do that kind of thing where you feel like you're not showing up and it's an excuse. You know that you're already apologizing for it. What if you sort of studied it like it's a craft? And I talk about this a lot. I grew up as the art kid. Even in my newsletter, which you also should subscribe to, weakgrowmedia.com/newsletter, my weekly newsletter, I talk about my now 4-year journey of learning to properly play guitar. I dabbled with guitar for a quarter century, and now I'm properly doing it because it's a craft, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. What if you put all of that into this, and instead of you feeling like you are juggling a wide range of things and not doing well with any of them, what if you intensely focused on how you can best communicate on one platform, and what would the best experience be for your audience? And I don't mean the experience of, I don't want to bug people, so I'm not going to share. I'm not talking about that experience. I've got to do a whole other episode just on that. And this is where I like looking around and realizing that this is something you can observe other people do. I follow a lot of people on social media. And what I look for is how people who have a big following, often, not always, but often, they share a lot more than the average person. Because people who follow them are inspired by them. They find joy and education and whatever it is from them. And when I log on, I kind of want to see the people who inspire me. I don't want to see less of them. I want to see more of what they have to share. I want to see more of their creative process. And this isn't just the idea of how to use social media. This can align to business strategy as well. I was working with a client on this recently where there's someone who's an author and a writer. They also have a business where they offer services and products. And we were talking about the same thing for them, which is instead of having this wide range of services and products that you can't focus on as much and your ideal audience, what if you offered a much more limited menu? What if you offered one thing and you put all your energy into that and you pick the thing that you most love doing? The thing that you think brings the biggest transformation for your ideal audience. What if you put all of your energy into that business product? It's a very similar thing. And this is something I've looked at for myself over the years because I've had a business full-time for 11 years. I speak with other people who do that. And it's evolved. And what I found is that the more that I focus on what I love doing, what I'm really good at doing, and the kinds of experiences that are really powerful for writers and creators, I have limited my offering significantly year after year after year, and the results have been amazing. It's a weird counterintuitive thing. We often think, oh, the more I offer and the more places, the more opportunity I have to capture someone. And that can happen. There's definitely business models or social media models that work great with that. If that's what you want to do, I'm totally behind you. But I often find the opposite is true more often than we like to think. And it can be a very, very freeing thing to focus, to do less, so to speak. You're not just focusing broadly. You're saying, I'm just going to do what I love doing that I know resonates with people the most. And part of this is the idea that creative energy is a very, very precious resource. To me, it's a more precious resource than time, because we've all had days where we're home all day or we're at work all day, we're somewhere all day, we don't really get much done. And we have times where you are really well caffeinated and in an hour, you did seemingly 9 hours worth of work because you had that energy. So for this, obviously, if you are a writer or an artist or creator, the first dose of creative energy should ideally go to your craft. And then when you think of the other side of it, how to share that, you want to really leverage that creative energy in a very clear way. Now, of course, I note that probably for almost everyone listening to this, you have a wide range of other responsibilities, family and work and health and life, that is also pulling from your creative energy. But that really just underscores this point. So to keep it really focused on the example of your platform, think about this as a literacy. If you're someone who says, you know what, I do like Instagram, and I do think that people there, my ideal audience is there, and I do want to really learn it. So just the literacy of learning Instagram, let's think about what you are mastering. You're learning how to use the main Instagram feed, the very traditional square images. You're learning how to use Instagram stories, which disappear after a day. You can save them in highlights. When you open up the stories interface in your phone, wow, there are so many options about how to do filters and how to put music or links or add words or all different kinds of things. With both of these, video can be a component of it. There's live video. Instagram Reels. A lot of people don't really understand the difference of that and why it's different and how you would create a reel in a way that's different than you'd create another video. It's a whole other kind of literacy. Of course, a part of this is learning how to take a good photo. What does it mean to frame your photo well? What does it mean to take a good selfie? How do you light a good photo? If you're doing video, what does a good audio make? Are you using hashtags? What content feels authentic and right for you to share, as well as strategic? How are you developing your voice on that platform? Who are you following? How do you engage? And the list goes on. That's just with Instagram. So instead of saying, oh, I got a Facebook page and a Facebook group and I got Twitter and Instagram, this is, what if you just put it all into that? Or, and I'm not advocating for Instagram at all, what if you put it all into a newsletter? What if you put it all into an online community? What if you put it all into something? Because now you're developing a mastery of sharing. And even if next year Instagram goes away, what you are learning here is applicable to the next place you might share. You developing the ability to take a good photo, to share in your own voice, to share more frequently, to do good video, to learn how to engage. That applies to the next social platform. And this is what I've loved looking at when I look at quote unquote influencers who become really big on, let's say, years ago, Vine. Or Vine became a big thing. You saw all these young creators get really big. And then they started moving off of Vine. Where did they move to? They moved to Instagram, to Snapchat, to TikTok, to YouTube. And I watched them do that. And they took what they developed on a very unique, very different platform, and they applied it in a different way to YouTube. They had much more to gain from that. They brought over much more than just, well, the buttons on Vine were different than the buttons on Instagram. Because the fact of the matter is, Instagram changes all the time. All these networks do. But you developing that capacity to look at a different feed and think about content and all of that, that's really useful and really meaningful. So if you think about the idea of like, oh, I want to do that, but I also want to be really active on Twitter. Now you're doubling the literacy that you're learning. And if you add another thing, it kind of almost doubles again in some ways. It's not a science, obviously. Now, that's not to say you can't have a presence across more than one channel. I do, and I have for years, and many, many, many of the writers and creators I work with do. It's worth noting that I started kind of one by one. I started a newsletter, then I started a blog, then I got on Twitter, then I got on Facebook, then I got on Instagram, and in some cases, there are years between me really sharing on these networks. So that's one. You look at these people are doing that, and they started in one place and got okay at it, how to share, and then they added the next one, they added the next one. The other thing to keep in mind is that often, and this is something that when I work with clients we do, there's a strategy behind this. It's not just each of these things doubling the work. We introduce them in a way so that you're doing, you're leveraging that content in a very strategic way across these platforms. So for me, this podcast I'm recording right now, and I'm doing a video and an audio, two different things right at once. This is based off an essay that I wrote a couple days ago and sent out to my newsletter list. And then I'm taking excerpts from that essay and putting that on Twitter. So here I'm creating one piece of content and realizing there's so much in it, I can share it in a different way. What I'm saying here on this podcast is not reading a script. It's not reading the essay. I'm saying stuff and giving examples in this episode that aligns with the essay, but is unique from it. I'm trying to honor each audience, but I'm doing it in a strategic manner. And honestly, it's kind of a higher level thing to do. I've been doing this full time for 11 years, but I've been on Twitter, or I've had a newsletter for more than 15 years, a weekly newsletter for 15 years. Very similar to Twitter, that sort of thing. So a lot of this is about focusing your energy, of knowing that in a given day, you have a finite amount of creative energy. So really use it wisely. Okay, so I've touched upon this next point a bit already, which is frequency matters. If you want to be present in the lives of your ideal audience, you have to show up. And I don't just think of this as like a modern social media thing. I look back to 1978, 1968, 1958, 1988, when we had offline things, and you were someone who, part of a poetry community, and you wanted to be known as a poet, and you loved other poets. You did that by showing up to poetry reading after poetry reading. You did that by showing up to writing group. You did that by going to conferences. You did that by going into the city and going to these different places. You showed up. And the more you showed up, the more that you were able to communicate with people and build trust. To me, the two core elements of what an author, what a platform is. And I remember years ago, you know, in college, I worked in food service, like many or most people do. And I can remember, you know, I worked a lot of different shifts, and I can remember, you know, a customer coming in and then saying, oh, hey, you know, I'll have my usual. And a time where I'm like, okay, yeah, what's that again? And they like did like a deadpan look. I was like, what do you mean? I'm a regular here. You don't know my usual? You should know my usual. I'm a regular. And they were offended. Of course, I apologized, went through it, you know, just sort of, oh, I'm so sorry, but the fact of the matter is, I worked a lot of shifts with some of these jobs. That person came in once a week, and maybe sometimes they'd skip a week. So that means they came in three to four times a month. Whereas we had people who would come in two times a day. And I'm not one to judge who is a regular and who isn't a regular. I don't really care about the title, but it was the idea of when you see someone twice a day, or maybe you miss them on one shift, you see them once a day, it's a lot easier to memorize their order than if they're once a week, maybe sometimes once every other week, because there's a lot of customers in food service. And from the customer standpoint or your standpoint, if you want to be known in a community, you want to build a network, build that footprint in a way, or those relationships. When you show up every so often, you can think, oh, I'm not bugging them. That's fine. But you're also not showing up. It's giving less points of connection. It's less time to build rapport with people. And a lot of times I see people approach this idea of platform or marketing or sharing, and they think about, how do I do the bare minimum? How do I do just the quote-unquote best practices and the bare minimum? Because I'm busy and I don't want to bug people. And it's this idea of, what if you took the opposite viewpoint? So one of the things I work with people on is we do what I call outreach. We send, you know, reach out to people. And One of those is sending like gratitude emails. It's something I try to do myself. Where there's a difference between you sending out one email a month to someone, another author, let's say you're a writer. Oh, I loved your book, da 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 da. So if you write once a month an email like that, just a gratitude email to another author, that's 12 a year. If you do 4 a month, once a week, well, now it's more. And it's 4 times more. But what if you did once a day? Think about how much quicker and how much more luck and how much more possibility happens when you do it that much more frequently. Instead of 12 times a year, 12 times you might connect with someone, it might lead to something, or even feel that joy of like, oh, I sent an email and they replied back that I made their day. What if you did it 365 times a day? Think about how much quicker things evolve. Think about how much better you get at that. Think of how many more people you can connect with. Think about how expansive that is. Now, I'm not saying that daily is the right thing for you. Only you know the right thing for you. But what I find is that a lot of times people pull back. They put their foot on the brakes or they stay in first gear. And the people that I see who do a really good job at connecting with people, building trust, they realize that the showing up more often, showing up more authentically, and increasing that frequency, it leads to so many more things that are what they want, which is an ecosystem of people who know what you create and appreciate it, and vice versa for what you do. And within this, boundaries are really important. I've always felt that boundaries are an essential part of making great art. And a lot of what I do in my spare time is I study creators and their journey. I watch a lot of documentaries, listen to a lot of podcasts, watch a lot of YouTube interviews, read all that kind of stuff about across all different creative fields. And I always note the boundaries that they had. A crazy time frame, a crazy budget, or whatever that is, crazy small budget. Boundaries are also really important for marketing as well. And recently I've been re-experiencing this for myself. I'd mentioned earlier that for the last 4 years, I have really been trying to properly learn how to play guitar. So for a quarter century, I dabbled with it. I would basically learn like the same 5 chords. I'd kind of get to them okay, and then I'd get distracted and I wouldn't do it for 8 months or a year or 2 years. Then I'd relearn the same 5 chords, kind of struggle through a couple songs, then I'd give it up. A year or two later, relearn the same 5 chords. Again, for a quarter century, a long time. And 4 years ago, I decided to change that. And I went on a daily regimen of practice. I've written about this a lot on my blog. If you go to this page on my website, go to wegrowmedia.com/blog and podcast, and I'll link to all that in the blog and the podcast notes. But I've gone through this thing the last 4 years of really trying to properly learn, dedicating myself to it. And I've put in a lot of time and hours. And what I find is that with a lot of creative work and marketing, we go through cycles where we get stuck. And I go through that too, and I try to be very honest about that. And recently I felt like, you know, I've gained a lot of knowledge, but I'm not really playing. I haven't reached my goal. My goal is, I think, pretty simple. I want to be able to go onto my porch with an acoustic guitar and play some just beautiful music for a half an hour, an hour. And I'm not there. And I was looking at why that is. So what I did was I hired a guitar coach. He's a guitar teacher. I call him a coach. I'd worked with him in the past, but in reaching back out to him, I was pretty clear about, like, here are my goals. I want to get really specific because I've been going off on all these tangents that aren't helpful. So for guitar instruction, there's amazing, amazing lessons and instructors on YouTube, and they have courses and stuff. But what I notice is a lot of them, they teach certain kinds of genres, like the blues or something like that, where I was learning songs. And songs that I'm not really someone who's going to be around a lot of campfires, where I'll have this and I'll sing a lot of campfire songs. And I was really clear with him, Mark McKenzie is the guitar guy. He's based in New Zealand. He's just incredible. And I was really clear about the goals. And he listened to me and I said, oh, I kind of like the music of like Will Ackerman and the Windham Hill, this sort of beautiful melodic guitar pieces. he got it right away. And he said, oh, you mean like this? And he played a couple things for me. And I was like, that is what I want to do. And we've been working on a new program. And it's full of boundaries. So the first thing he did was he locked me into one key and one finger position. We're only going to work in the C of key and only in the first open position. And that's where we stayed. And within those boundaries, it has been amazing. It's like the difference between a couple weeks ago and today for what I can do are amazing. And it's not about the knowledge. Everything he's quote unquote teaching me, I knew before, but I never put it together in the way that he's taking me through it. And that's a part of it. Having these boundaries of even reframing my own think about, reframing my goals, of no longer even thinking about working with him as like, I'm paying for knowledge. I'm not paying for knowledge. I mean, to a degree, that's definitely happening in every lesson. But I'm paying for progress. And it's been incredible to think about that. So as you think about how you want to reach your creative goals, what it means for you to grow your platform or to share your work effectively or to feel good about that, don't be afraid to do less. Guitar example, I'm working in one key in one position, but it has opened up so much possibility and joy and progress. It's slowing down and appreciating the incremental, meaningful moments that we're doing. If you have any questions about this or have ideas for other topics you want me to talk about here on the podcast, shoot me an email, dan@wegrowmedia.com. You can also go to wegrowmedia.com and find my weekly blog posts and newsletter. I send out every Friday. You can find all the past episodes of the podcast. And of course, you can find me on social media at Dan Blank. Thank you so much for listening until the end.